takes a lot of faith to believe that things are well with us. But if you're in Christ, it is well with your soul. No matter how our body is failing us or the world around us is crashing, God made us body, God made us soul, and I hope every one of you is in Christ. And if so, it is well with your soul. It will be well with your soul. And we sing that with hope. We sing that with confidence. Has been a rough week for our church family, as you can imagine, as we grieve the loss of Elwin. Just seems like too short. Wish we could have seen her grow up and laugh and be a part of this church family. But we trust in God. We trust in a Father who is always wise, always loving towards us. And we'll see her again one day. Got a message even last night from Jenny Williams, who's a member in our church, and her mom died late last night. Her husband, Pratt, also in this church, father died just over a month ago. You wake up to hear of these mass shootings and just tragedy that's occurring in our life, and I imagine if every one of us had the opportunity to say what was happening in your life, there would be pain, there would be frustration, there would be jobs dissatisfaction, marital conflict, anxiety over school starting. We all have issues, don't we? We all have struggles. The only way, I think, to find hope and relief in this world is to remember it's not our world. It's not our forever home. We are sojourners. We are passing through. We're hikers going through one country to a far and better country. I have so enjoyed going through Pilgrim's Progress this summer. And be honest, I'm surprised of how the lessons that we're learning have proven to be so valuable and relevant to our life. And even David talked last week about despair and doubt. And that was in preparation for many of us just 24 hours later. And so if you remember the story, what enabled Christian and Hopeful to get out of that prison of despair and doubt was a key. I believe that key to be God's grace. Grace that has brought us to this day. Grace that will take us home. One of the songs we sang at Elwin's funeral was Amazing Grace. And there's a few lyrics from there that I want us to hold on to today. You guys probably know these lyrics, but it's 'tis grace that has brought me safe thus far, and grace that will lead me home. This morning we're going to talk about how we can look back to God's grace, and how we can also look forward to the grace that will enable us and persevere to take us home. So let me pray. Father, grace, God's grace, it's if we could peel back behind the curtain, if we could rewind and see video of our life, how often would it be your sustaining grace, your saving grace, your providing grace that has carried us, that has protected us, provided for us? And Father, we don't have video from the future, so we don't know what it will be. So, Lord, we need faith to believe that it will be your future grace that will do the same, that will take us all the way into the end of our life, and that will bring to us an eternity with you. Father, grant us grace and faith today. And more, Lord, and the greatest thing I pray for is that we would see you. We would see your goodness, your faithfulness. And we would leave here amazed and willing to trust you more. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have one verse to talk about today, one verse only. I'm going to keep it simple. Hebrews 10:23, which says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The exhortation here is to hold fast, to hold tightly, without wavering, to hold on to who we know God to be and what God has promised to be in our life. Difficult at times when the world is crashing around us. It's difficult to hold on. And the grip that we have so tightly one Sunday morning can be loose, and we're tempted to let go. The writer of the book of Hebrews was writing to a persecuted church who understood suffering, who understood persecution, and he was telling them, hold on. This is true, what we believe. This confession that we hold to be true is true, and we are to hold on to it. So we want to look at two main points. You see in your outline, we're to look back to the grace that has brought us here. And we're to look forward to the grace that will take us home. Well, we're almost at the end of the journey of Christian. You have one more week to read this entire book, The Pilgrim's Progress, if you are lagging behind. But do read it, reread it. It's been a joy for me to read. But we're getting to the end. In fact, next week, I believe it's one of the most beautifully written passages in all of literature, Christian or non-Christian, as we look at Christian passing through the river of death and finally making it to the celestial city. So we're going to finish the study next week. But today we're going to catch up with Christian and Hopeful. You remember, these are our two pilgrims. They've just left Giant Despair in the Doubting Castle. So let's pick up the narrative of where they are. They continued on their path until they came to the Delectable Mountains, which belonged to the Lord. Once they arrived, they climbed the mountains to see the gardens, orchards, vineyards, and fountains. From the fountains, they drank the water and washed themselves, and they freely ate from the vineyards. Now, on top of these mountains, shepherds were feeding their flocks, and they stood by the side of the highway. The pilgrims went to them and asked, "Whose Delectable Mountains are these? Whose sheep are these that are pasturing on the mountain?" A shepherd answered, "These mountains are Emmanuel's land, and they are within sight of his city. The sheep are also his, and he laid down his life for them." I saw also in my dream that when the shepherds perceived that Christian and Hopeful were on the pilgrimage, they started asking them questions, such as where they had come from, and by what means they had entered the way and found strength to persevere. For few, they said, who began the journey make it this far. I love this image of Christian and Hopeful, who we know have gone through so many trials, and they're enjoying the beauty and the rest of the mountains. Probably many of you guys have been to mountains or beautiful places of scenery, and it's refreshing to be, especially when you're doing it with somebody who's a family member or a friend. And I can only imagine that Christian and Hopeful, as they experiencing the relief and the rest and the fellowship with others, they probably are amazed at how far they have come. And that they have made it this far. So when one of the shepherds say, "Few have made it this far," I can only imagine they were grateful to be there and to make it that far. But I want to draw you into this story right now. It's not a story about Christian and Hopeful. Christian and Hopeful are us. So my question is, what or who has brought you this far? If you're a believer in Christ, your faith is real and in Him, what do you credit to bringing you there? Think about our salvation. Can any of us claim that we were smart enough, wise enough to understand our need for Christ? Can any of us claim credit for our own salvation? It says in Ephesians 2, salvation is a gift of God, not of works, not of anything that we have done, but it is by grace that we have been saved. Can any of us claim that all that we have is by our own hands? Everything that you have in your life. John the Baptist said, not one thing that we have was not given to us from heaven. All that we have comes from Him. Can any of us claim that our continuing with God is by our own strength? The psalmist writes, "My flesh, my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart." The book of Jude says, "It is God who keeps me from stumbling. It is God who will ensure that I will be presented blameless in His presence." I guarantee you that if it was up to me, I would have walked away from the faith probably already. I would have given in to the pleasures of sin. But it is God. It is God who is keeping me, protecting me, enabling me to persevere, enabling me to believe and have faith in Him. It is God. None of us can take credit for whom God has made us and whom God has promised us to be. So as we look back, all that we have is due to the grace, to the faithfulness of God. Last night I was looking for an old picture, and I was went upstairs and I was pulling out the photo books from college and immediately after college. For those of you under the age of 20, these are things you can't access from the cloud. They're actually printed photos in photo books. But as I was looking through them, I just saw a skinny knucklehead arriving as a freshman at Stanford University and seeing how friends led me to Christ and then growing in Christ and going into ministry, having my first job selling copiers and then selling coffee, then going to seminary and then being called as a missionary to China, getting married and having kids. And I was just blown away by the faithfulness of God in my life. Thought about if there was a watermark. You know what a watermark is? It's like when you go on the internet and you want to rip off somebody else's photo that's not your intellectual property. But they put a watermark on it and say, "This belongs to us." And as I was thinking and looking back through all those photos, I thought, if there was just there is a watermark on every one of those moments, and it simply says faithfulness, God's grace, God's faithfulness. Think about your own life as you look back to where you have come from, as you look to where you are now. It is the faithfulness, the grace of God that has given you it all, that has brought you to this place. None of us would have ever chosen God. None of us would have remained following God without His faithfulness in our life. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, "If we are faithless, He remains faithful." Or a more accurate picture of my life, when I have been unfaithful, yet God has remained faithful in my life. So back to our text in Hebrews. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. See, when we forget the faithfulness of God, we lose the ability to trust Him. As I look back on all those photos of significant things that have happened in my life, and I began to attribute them to the pursuit, the love, the faithfulness of God, my ability to trust Him in moments like this past week became real, became tangible. If I'm just hit with the overwhelming just pain of this world and struggles of my own life, and I did not believe or did not remember the faithfulness of God, I would not be able to hold on. It would just undo me. But the more I thought of how God has been faithful, as I counted His blessings one by one, I found that my faith was strengthened. 1 Peter 1, 3-5 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." I mean, just look back at this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again. It is God who caused you to be born again. And what have you been born again? To a living hope. How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded. Did you know that God was guarding you this week? Did you know that God will guard you this week and in the future? Doesn't mean he guards us from pain or struggles. We all know that's not to be true. But he guards our souls. He guards our faith. He's fighting for us. He's pursuing us. He's working for our own faith. He's faithful. Look at these verses on God's faithfulness. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. It's unbroken. There's never a blip where steadfast love falls off the radar. It never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. How many of y'all claim that verse often? I do. Whether it's a season of sin in my life, whether it's a season of unbelief, it's just good to start the morning fresh and with hope. And so I'm saying, okay, the Lord's mercies are new each morning. His mercies never come to an end. So I'm going to hold on to that. But that's not the main part of this verse. It's the last word. Great is your faithfulness. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him. Psalm 145:13. The Lord is faithful to all of his promises and loving toward all he has made. See, when tragedy, when uncertainty hits our lives, we're going to be crushed unless we look back to the watermark of his faithfulness in our life. Hudson Taylor was a missionary, father of missions. He said these words, "All God's giants have been weak men and women who have gotten hold of God's faithfulness." Have you gotten hold of God's faithfulness in your life? Maybe you look back in your photo album and there's more pain than there are wonderful moments. We all have a mixed photo album. But God is faithful. God has been faithful. God will be faithful. So looking back to God's grace and faithfulness that has brought us here. But the second point is we're to look forward to grace that will bring us home. So Christian and hopeful, they're in the Delectable Mountains. They can't stay there forever. They've got to continue on in their journey. We pick up the story again. By this time, all agreed that the pilgrims should continue their journey. So they walked together toward the end of the mountains. Then the shepherds said to one another, "Let us show the pilgrims the gates of the celestial city." So they took them to the top of a high hill called Clear and gave them their telescope, which the pilgrims carefully looked through. They saw something like a gate and also some of the glory of the place. I love that imagery of telescope. I always wanted one for Christmas and never got one, but I'm not bitter about it. But when I think about the telescope here, I believe the telescope to be the promises of God, to be faith, to looking ahead. And we think about the telescope of the future. None of us know the future, right? None of us know what's going to happen. So we have to walk by faith. And walking by faith is silly unless you're walking in the promises of God. Let's look at some of the promises that God has given us as Christians. 1 John 2:17, it says, the world and its desires pass away. We know that to be true. But whoever does the will of God lives forever. 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Think about that. Think about the light, the momentary, the heavy troubles that we're all experiencing. One day we will experience a glory that outweighs them. John 14, 1 and 3, let not your hearts be troubled. See the assumption there? His disciples, his listeners had troubled hearts. He says, let them not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If you're a believer in Christ, there is a place being prepared, maybe already prepared, in heaven for us. I will come again, Jesus said, and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Isaiah 65, 17, for behold, I create new heavens, a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. Let me just say, this earth, this world, it's not bad. It's currently, temporarily, under the brokenness of sin. But one day, there's going to be a new earth. There's going to be everything I think that we enjoy here on earth will be perfect, enjoyable. Maybe fruit doesn't go rotten. We enjoy the company. And then Revelation 21, 3 through 4. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. All of those verses I read, that is the telescope. That's the future. That's what's true of every one of us who's in Christ. We can trust the promises of God. And this is what God has promised. There's a verse that you should memorize cold. It's Joshua 23, 14. Right when I said that, I was like, uh-oh, I better say this without looking at my notes. Joshua 23, Joshua is at the end of his life, and he's dying. And you remember the story of Joshua. He took over from Moses, and he led the people into the promised land, and they conquered enemies. And he knew that what God had promised to the Israelites is, this is a land, and I will go before you, and I will conquer your enemies. And Joshua says, at the end of his life, says, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. And you know in your heart that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God has given you has failed. Not one. Every one of them has been fulfilled. That is the God that we can trust. Every promise that we read in Scripture, it will happen. It will come true. If I promise you something, there's a probability it won't come true. But God, every time. Maybe not in the way that we would have answered it. Maybe not the way that we would have hoped. But we can trust in the promises of God. So our application is here. Since we don't know the future, since our hearts at times can waver in confidence, to walk by faith. The Christian life is one of faith. Let me give you a definition of faith, real simple. Faith is a trusting, obedient confidence in God to fulfill his promises. Faith is a trusting, obedient confidence in God to fulfill his promises. Hebrews 11, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I don't like things I can't see. I want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't want to walk by faith. But the Christian life is one of faith. And faith fluctuates, wavers, falls, unless it's grounded in the promises of God. That's the key. That enables us to handle whatever goes on in our life. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder, the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." That's the Christian life. That's what we're called to do, to walk by faith, to look ahead. This summer, one of the goals of my family was to read Victor Hugo's book, Les Miserables. And that's a big book. There's a lot to cover in there. I have to admit, we skipped a few chapters, but we did finish the book. And one of the new discoveries for me was the continued presence of the silver candlesticks. If you know anything about the book, then you know the story of Jean Valjean. Jean Valjean was in prison for 19 years, and he was let go of prison. But because he was a convict, hardened, cruel, rude, everywhere he went, people turned him away. Nobody showed him mercy. Nobody gave him food, gave him a place to stay, except one man, and it was the bishop of a church. And he invited Jean Valjean in to spend the night with him. He gave him food, gave him a bed to sleep in. Well, Jean Valjean, still hardened and bitter, during the night took the silver, took things from the bishop in the church, and fled away. Well, the next day, the police had captured Jean Valjean and brought him back to the bishop. And what you would have expected, and I think Hugo put this twist in there, was I would have expected the bishop to say, "Yes, he did steal. Thank you for bringing back our silver." But what the bishop told the police was, "No, I gave him the silver. I gave him what he has in his possession. In fact, Jean Valjean, did you forget the candlesticks?" And he gives them two silver candlesticks. And he says, "These are the most valuable of them all." And he gave them to Jean Valjean. Well, that moment of grace transformed Jean Valjean's life. In fact, he gave the rest of his life to showing mercy and grace to others. And there's multiple times throughout the book. There's one time when Jean Valjean had pretty much lost a lot and almost everything, and he was tempted to sell these silver candlesticks, but he didn't. He held on to them. And then we get to the final dramatic scene of the book where Jean Valjean is dying, and he calls over his daughter Cosette and her husband Marius, and he gives to them the silver candlesticks. And I thought, why did he hold on to these all of his life? Because it was a sign of God's grace. It was a sign of God's faithfulness to him. So believer, child of God, look back to the faithfulness of God to enable us to process life today. Look forward to the surpassing value of being with God, of being whole, of being without pain, being with God forever and ever. Let us hold fast to this confidence without wavering, for he who promised us is faithful. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray that we would do that. We would believe and see your faithfulness in our lives. And God, thank you so much for how you have given us all that we need, how you have guarded us, delivered us, protected us. And so, Lord, right now, as we walk, beginning today to the future, help us to trust you more, and that when we do see you eye to eye, soul to spirit, our faith will be clear, and we will praise you for your faithfulness and love for us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.